Listening part two. You will hear a radio program. You will hear the program only once. While listening, decide which answer fits best, A, B or C. Mark your answers for items 55 to 64 on answer sheet S30. You will now have 3 minutes to read items 55 to 64.
Good morning, listeners. This is Sylvia Bow, and welcome to today's episode of the Business Daily. Our e-commerce expert, Jordan, is here to give us an insight into a controversial topic that many of us might not even be aware of: the existence of dark stores. Jordan, can you start by explaining what a dark store is?
Well, Sylvia, it's a city center food depot used for speedy home deliveries ordered online. They're usually found in a brick-and-mortar location that has been shut down, such as a former bank or hairdressers. And that's because, unlike supermarket chains with their custom-built premises requiring large car parks for customers, these stores open up directly within the urban neighborhoods they serve.
And they don't need car parks?
Not at all. They need locations in densely populated areas. In fact, their business model depends on it. They're staffed by pickers, workers who select the ordered items from the shelves, and drivers who deliver by bike, e-bike, or motor scooter. The dark in the name refers to the fact they are closed to visitors, which allows more space for stock and the opportunity to quickly and accurately fulfill orders. No customers, no car parks.
I see. And what can I buy?
These stores are like mini warehouses that stock everything from candy and alcoholic beverages to coffee filters and batteries. Not every brand, but certainly the most common. What sets them apart from their competition is that your purchases are delivered in 10 to 30 minutes. Traditional grocery delivery apps may offer a greater range and can attract customers with seasonal offers, but they need 24 hours to get those goods delivered. Although normal supermarkets offer products at slightly lower prices, many dark store companies now run customer loyalty systems. You earn points per purchase, which convert to sizable price reductions as good as you'd get in a supermarket elsewhere.
Sounds convenient, but honestly, who uses this service?
Anyone and everyone, really. Some people initially dismissed it as a trend, but others really believe this business model is here to stay. In fact, in the first 2 years of the arrival of dark stores on the U.S. market, investors pumped almost $6 billion into instant delivery companies based in New York alone. Not all these players will survive. Indeed, some have gone bankrupt already, but others continue, and one will probably become the dominant player who disrupts the space. And with time, the whole dark store operation will be streamlined to run as smoothly as possible.
I don't know if I like the idea of buying groceries this way.
It's true that the idea of handing your weekly shopping over to a stranger doesn't suit everyone. Customers like to see and interact with the product, especially fresh food, so they can feel it and check it. And due to the lack of niche products, these companies can't replace the large supermarkets entirely. It's also interesting to note that these distribution centers don't open everywhere. In New York City, for example, they seem to operate mostly in the wealthier, whiter neighborhoods. That is one of the criticisms aimed at them.
One of many, you say. What are the others?
Well, these tech-driven, hyper-fast delivery companies aim to make life easier for shoppers. And when it comes to convenience, there's no doubt the concept can't be beaten. But we have to consider their workers, local businesses, and the communities they are located in. The way they operate raises many questions about the responsibility of the tech industry to provide fair, stable jobs and to contribute in a positive way to the cities in which they do business, something we expect of all businesses today. With respect to employment, in the past, a delivery job could offer decently paid hourly work. Now it's very different. Workers say they are treated as just another expense to be reduced when times are slow, their wages differing greatly from week to week. Rapid delivery companies also have impacts on the communities in which they are sited. Residents around dark stores complain of extra traffic from delivery cars and illegal parking. There have been many incidents of bicycle delivery workers rushing to fulfill orders and being injured on the job. And they are also accused of being a risk to pedestrians.
I must admit, I hadn't considered the impact on existing corner shops or newsagents who have been there for years.
Yes, this is an issue that is often ignored. Some companies say they want to help smaller businesses enhance their digital competence, but evidence of action is hard to find. This is an issue linked to all kinds of digital businesses. They may operate locally, but the money they make often goes out of the neighborhood, even out of the city and region. Companies and investors are largely concerned with profit and seldom feel a moral responsibility for the communities they operate in. But activist groups are pushing for more of a spotlight on these instant delivery companies and their impact on workers and neighborhoods. They want rapid delivery grocery companies to be made to follow existing guidelines. Food stores in New York City have to stick to rules and regulations that dark stores have been able to avoid so far. It's like the law doesn't apply to them, said one campaigner. Obviously, this lack of compliance is something that needs to be dealt with.
So what does the future look like, in your opinion?
Well, changes seem to be finally coming, and recently, New York City Council met to discuss practical ways of regulating these businesses in future. Many ideas have been proposed, which campaigners believe will go some way towards reducing the issue. Elsewhere, after the initial rapid expansion of these businesses, a number of European cities have now implemented temporary bans on additional dark store openings, after complaints about their impacts on the neighborhoods they were operating in. It's clear from the problems these stores create that we need better regulation to protect workers, local businesses, and the community residents. As some say, there's nothing bad or dangerous about work arranged from an app for tech-driven companies. It's the business model behind the apps that is bad.
Thank you, Jordan, for that fascinating insight into this modern business model. You've given us a lot to think about.
Thanks, Sylvia.
End of listening part 2.